My name is Arnie L. I'm a compulsive gambler in recovery, and the last time I gambled was August 12th, 1985. And I didn't get here because I thought, oh, gee, you know, Arnie, I think if you stopped gambling and went to gamblers, no. I started gambling at seven compulsively until I was 40 years old, never thought gambling was my problem. And just thought that I just, I didn't listen, I didn't behave. And I accepted consequences. And I grew up in the Bronx, New York, a borough right outside of New York City, all apartment buildings. Mine was 2 5-story walk-ups connected by a hallway. And I lived in a very tiny apartment with my parents, my grandmother, and my brother, who was 5 years older. And it was total chaos every single day. Just c craziness. It made no sense. And so, we'd be, and in every apartment you go in is pretty much the same, just a different group of people. So I go outside and either played ball or gambled. And gambling enticed me. I played ball too, and I started flipping baseball cards. I was 7 years old. I was compulsive. All morning in school, I would think about stealing those baseball cards at lunchtime in the store. And I did it every single day. And one day, the guy caught me, Sid, his name was Sid. And he grabbed me by the scruff of my neck like I was a little kitten. He was so angry. And he put me in a phone booth. He said, "I'm never going to let you out." And he closed the door in those days, and the light went on. I said, "Oh, okay." So I wasn't going to cry because it wasn't dark, and I was in there for about 40 minutes. My brother was the captain of the crossing guards. He came in, got me out, never said anything, never told my parents. Of course, I couldn't go back to that store, but my stealing continued, my lying. And it was just like that. It was just the way I thought life was supposed to be. And I wanted to just figure out the best way to do it and to always find ways of getting money. Most of it was I would steal most of it from my grandmother, who was senile. Oh, what a crazy scene. Terrible. And anyway, that went on to high school. Went from pitching baseball cards to coins to poker. Then in high school, when I was the end of my high school, my friend took me to the horse track. That was it. Friday night, Yonkers Raceway. I didn't even know. I was just watching. But the last race was fixed and the people went crazy. One guy got run over by a horse. They were giving back the money because they had to cancel the races. And I was picking up, they have these white stones along the fence. I was picking them up as mementos. I thought this was the way it happened every Friday night. Great. It was chaos. It was wonderful. It was just nuts. It was just, oh my, went to, didn't graduate high school on time because I was, didn't go to school for 65 days in the senior year playing poker. Had to go to night school. Went to college, University of Tampa in Florida, and of course, my roommate was a compulsive gambler from New Jersey. Best friends, unbelievable. We gambled on dogs, on horses, on highlight. Oh my gosh, we gambled every day, and and my dear friend. Father, your girlfriend's father, Mr. Rodriguez, was the guy that before the hot dogs come out race, they walk them around like to show you, like you're going to figure out which one's the best. And Mr. Rod, my friend Alice, her father was the head of the dog walkers. And one day I was at his house and he said, "Arnie, were you at the dog track today in Tampa?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Don't you know we shave their legs, the bottom of their feet if we don't want them to win. We force feed them water." I said, "Oh, stop it." I didn't want to believe that. crazy stuff. There was nothing. That was my whole world. Wherever I went, from I was a drifter, from New York to New Hampshire to Florida. Oh my gosh, I had so many wonderful opportunities. In the 70s, I was helping my friend manufacture women's clothes. I made so much money and gambled it all away. Nothing. I financed my gambling through my work and how much I could borrow, and wound up with nothing. 1977, we were going to close the plant because you have good runs and bad runs in that. And the people rioted. I lived on 105th Street in West End in Manhattan, overlooking Broadway. It was the summer of 77. The people rioted. The lights went out. And my buddy said, "We're going to close in October. You want me to give you some money now? Or you want to wait?" It was the summertime. I said, "Yeah, let me get out of here. This is too crazy." And I moved to the Virgin Islands in St. John. And I just, like I said, I was a drifter. My best friend lived there. He gave me a place to live from my building in the Bronx. Can you imagine that? And I played poker with the natives. There was only 50 Caucasian. I was one of 50 Caucasians and 2,000 natives. And I went. So I really didn't gamble that much. However, one night my friend from the who I met, she said, "My friend's coming down from Rochester. I want you to meet her." And that night, I went dancing and met my wife Joanne, and we've been together for almost 48 years now. And she moved down, and we opened the only ice cream store on the island. Imagine that! Everybody hung out in my store, the whole island. It was crazy. It was just my entire life, the journey. Nothing. When I look back, I was. A lot of it was reckless and abandonment, but it was. I did a lot of things because I was just wild, and that was a great part of it. Until I didn't make sense to her anymore, and she said to me, "I was having. I didn't know it was because I was a compulsive gambler. My thinking was so off." We sold the business. We were just hanging out. And she said, "Well, how do you want to survive?" And I took out a blackjack system for 1995. And she said, "You're going to support us by blackjack?" And she took my son 3 weeks later and moved to Rochester, New York, her hometown. She said, "You don't think normally." And, 6 months later, I begged, "Could I come? I'll be a good boy." And then it was drugs and alcohol. But I was allowed to gamble every Tuesday. She didn't think nothing of it. And the bottom line is here, is that in the last 3 years of my gamble, because of the accessibility, they had off-track betting. You didn't even have to go to the place to gamble. Like now you could do it on your phone. And I had 15 credit cards, 5 lines of credit, maxed out, and I prayed. Oh, did I pray? I prayed, I swore, if you just bail me out, I'll never do it again. And I got bailed out. One day in my entire career, I wasn't compulsive. I won all the money. I won so much money, and I paid off everybody the next day but one bank. And I couldn't get out of the car. And it was the first time I thought something is a little wrong. Here I prayed to be even, and it wasn't good enough. I got my prayer answered, the big score. It wasn't good enough. And for the next 90 days, I had so much credit now. I lost so much money in 3 months. It was all over. There was nowhere else to get money. I was at Saratoga Raceway, 3.5 hours from my home. Didn't know what I was going to do. Got on the New York Thruway, went into the service center. I was completely gone. Picked up the phone, begged the operator to help me. I called 411. I said, just help me. And she gave me a number. I called this guy back in Rochester. He said, as soon as you get back here, come see me. He was a peer counselor at the Problem Gambling Treatment Center. That was on a Friday. He became my sponsor. He said, meet me Monday at this hospital. We're going to a meeting. That was August 12th, 1985. And this is what he became my sponsor. And this is the things he gave me right away. He gave me a book called Stage Two Recovery. With stage one, he said, Arnie, you have to stop gambling. You can't gamble again. It's the bottom line. You answered yes to those 20 questions. You can't, and I knew that for the first time. And then he's, and stage two is you spend the rest of your life growing the life that was saved by stopping gambling. It's a beautiful book. And the second, the other thing he gave me right away is he took me to 6 months in to Albion Correctional Facility to a GA meeting in the prison. Oh my gosh. Scared me stiff walking through the yard after they closed the gates. I'm in the middle of this prison. Oh, was I scared? I swore I'd, if they let me out, I would never gamble. I wasn't going to gamble again. Met people in prison from gambling. And the other thing he did to me was I came in August and October. He said, we're going to New York, Manhasset, Long Island, and we're going to spend a weekend at a retreat house. I didn't know what he was talking about. And anyway, I joined this retreat, St. Camillus Retreat, started by my sponsor, this recovering Jesuit priest who was a mental patient, recovering mental patient. His brother was a compulsive gambler. And we had centers all over the US. And it's 40 years later, I still go every July in Montreal. And what it is, you spend time with other from 20 to 65 compulsive gamblers. And a recovering Jesuit priest takes you through the steps of recovery for the over the weekend. What a unique experience. Now, I must tell you, I grew up in the Bronx. Across the street was Sacred Heart Church. Around the corner was the Jewish Center of Highbridge. And up the street was the Presbyterian Church. I never met a priest in my whole life. Until I was 40 years old and went to the retreat, and they became my best friends, my best teachers. Most of them were alcoholics, but and they taught me this. It has nothing, Arnie, to do with religion. It's the 12 steps. If it was my religion, then you would have never met me. I would have been cured. I had to go to program when Father Ned used to tell me, sitting on the porch on Saturday night. And that made it was so beautiful to hear that. He said, why would you bring something from here into this when this already is so perfect? These 12 steps, they're perfect. And anyway, my sponsor, the other thing he gave me is he taught me to do the first step and the 10th step every single day from the very beginning. Because as one of the, as I was told by Father Ned, the only reason I'll go back out, only one reason, if Arnie L. chooses to forget that he's powerless over gambling. People die, relationships end. However, as long as I choose never to forget, I'm powerless. And so I've lived in that powerlessness every single morning. And the reason I have to do step 10 every night from the very beginning is because I was told you can't cause any more problems. If you keep causing problems, we're never going to be able to clear up. So you're going to clear up the past, he said. However, don't cause any more problems in the present. So every night, instead of going over your losing bets and preventing you from sleeping, go over who did you meet today? What did you say to them? Did you say something that was disturbing them? Call them up and apologize. And it's changed my life. It's changed my life. And the same with, amends. You don't have to wait till step 9 to say you're sorry to somebody. No. No, it's not step skipping to me. No. The ones for step nine, those that are so difficult. But most of the amends I had to make were the low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry, I should never said that to you. I'm sorry I cheated you in the poker game. So I also learned that I had to work the steps so I could spend the rest, as much of my life, living the steps. And that's where I am today. I work steps 1 and 10, as I told you, and 11 and 12. I've never done 2 and 3 and 4 again. Why would I don't see any reason to do them over. I mean, if there's another problem I see, well, then I can rectify it in step 10. So again, for me, it's all about recovery. It's about honesty, humility, kindness, and generosity. It's on the first page of the Yellow Book. The solution is the Serenity Prayer on the front page. If I can accept reality, if I can really do that and find the courage to behave in a way that's appropriate, well, that's being an adult. I came in here at 40 years old. Every decision was made by a little boy or a teenager. This is where I grew up. The steps of recovery. I know how to behave now. I know what's right and wrong. I know I can never gamble. I'm not afraid to say that. No. I remind myself every morning. And when I come to hang around in a room with people where I belong here. That's a beautiful thing to be able to say, that I have a place where I belong. I know my place. I appreciate the structure, appreciate the boundaries, and I appreciate you folks. And Dan, I appreciate you asking me to give a little of where I was and where I am, and it's all due to the recovery and people like you. Thank you.
Wow, Arnie, great share. Thank you for giving that back your 12 step. Wow, thank you so much. All right, now it's time for questions, answers, and comments to Arnie. If you'd like to get included, please raise your hand and we will call on you. All right, first up, Frank. Hello.
Let me just lower a second. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Arnie, thank you so much for your share today. Literally stopped me in my tracks. I mean, you've been a regular at our meeting here. I say our meeting, it's everyone's meeting, for a while now, and it's so nice to have someone that has this calmness and equanimity and experience and time and recovery, and that it shows all of us. It shows me what's possible. And you've been to where we've been, and you've come out of it, and you've simplified this program in such a beautiful way. Just step one, always surrender, and step 10, clean up the mess as we do it, so it doesn't have to be a bigger issue, and it takes away all those resentments and regrets. And I was just so touched by your share. I've known a little bit of your story as you share throughout, your time here. But the deeper part of it, and what really hit me is the idea that sometimes it's just one or two people in our lives that can give us, that inspiration and that show up for with nothing to benefit on their own. And your connection with the Jesuit priests and all that, it's just blown me away. And I look back at my recovery when there were people there for me too. As we say in the program, we'll love you until you can love yourself, and then you carry that forward and pass that on to us. And I'm just so blown away by this share, really. It was just so well laid out, and just a beautiful journey. And I was with you the whole way, and I just say thank you, man. I love you, and thank you so much. I don't have a question for you because you really covered it all. I'll be back.
Thank you, Frank. You know, I have to share real quick. Hi, I'm Jen. I'm a compulsive gambler. Hi, Arnie. When I came into the program, I had just lost my mother, and you look and act so much like my mom's side of the family, and same mannerisms, and they're all from New York. And I remember I reached out to you. You were one of the first people that I reached out to for support, and I just want to thank you for that. And I've been kind of going along with this recovery road with you. And I appreciate your share. It was really great listening to more than I already had heard. So, again, thank you so much. Looks like Kristen is ready to come in. Thank you, Kristen.
There we go. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate your service, and Dan and Tony and everybody else who keeps this safe space for us to come every day. I love your story, Arnie. I've been hearing your shares since I came to the program, and you've always been so real and so like raw with everything that you say that it's, and I remember early on, you would send me a little message, and it was like a kick in the butt that I need, but in a soft way. But like, you're saying the things that I needed to hear. It's like I knew that I needed to start working the steps. I knew that I needed to start working on the recovery and not just leaning on the abstinence and the meetings. And it was such an honor to meet you at that last retreat and spend time with you and get to know you even more in the family. And it's just, I know that for how much of a staple you are in my recovery, I know you are like that with so many people in this program. And I just want to thank you for being who you are to the people in this fellowship, because you are just like this. It's like kind of how I like refer to my husband. He's like the rock that no matter how crazy things can get, you're always consistent and you're always just there. And you're like your message is always consistent and the same. And because I find sometimes I'm kind of all over the place with how I'm sharing, and it just depends on how I'm feeling that day or what I'm going through in that week. But your recovery is such an inspiration. Like I hope to be there one day. But anyway, I just want to thank you for everything, and I'll be back.
Thank you so much for your question and beautiful comments, Kristen. Appreciate it. All right, so the room is open for questions and comments, or just come on in and check in. Raise your hand if you'd like to share. Thank you.
Did you call Charlotte? Oh, okay. I'm Charlotte C. from Little Rock, Arkansas. And I've missed several meetings, and it makes a big difference if I don't go to a GA meeting. I realize I need one every day. And I appreciate everybody listening to me. And it's been a month since I gambled, so, but I'm doing a lot better. So thank you, everybody.
Well, welcome, Charlotte. We're glad you're here today. All right. All right, Wenda, come on in, please. Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Arnie. What a fabulous share. And it was captivating. You speak so well. I was there with you in the Broadway districts in the 70s, and then you're making clothing, and you're, oh my God, you're like a Leonard Cohen of sorts. And it's really great to hear you. Like, wonderful share and wonderful message at the end about what's keeping you with us, like in recovery. So, like it was entertaining, like your story, and it was fundamentally solid, your message of what one needs to do to have so many years like you have. Thank you very much, Arnie. Wonderful.
Thank you, Linda. I just noticed that Arnie could not unmute, so now you're able to. So sorry about that, Arnie.
That's fine.
If you'd like to make comments back.
No, I appreciate everything. I'm just not, you know, I'm just taking it all in. It's very sweet. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, next we'll go over to Maria. Come on in. Thank you.
You should be able to unmute. Just take your time with it and no rush. While we wait for Maria to unmute, and I can go next, I just wanted to really again thank you, Arna, for your service at the meeting here and being of service for so many years, for so many. And now we have this recorded share that's going to last forever in our recorded file here. And I couldn't help but hear about, you know, the things that back in the day. Today is a little bit different, the gambling for the gambling today. You can work it off your phone. You can gamble on the computer. You can be literally in a literal casino, virtual casino, which we didn't have back in those days. It was mostly animals. It was horses and dogs and things like that. You know, completely different than what it is today. So in a way, if we couldn't get to the racetrack, we had bookies back then. You can make a phone call and you can still get to gamble. It's amazing what we would do just to be able to make a bet, you know. And then those people that took those bets, they were not friendly, nice people when you didn't pay back the money you owed them. And there was all kinds of stuff happening. So, you know, something about gambling and compulsive gambling is just not good for me or for anybody else. So if I wanted to ask you a question, it would be, what would you recommend to this age of gambling today? How can we, it's the same principle as the old days with the horses and the dogs, and or is it a little bit different today? And what would you recommend to the younger, this new way of gambling that we have today? And thank God I don't have to have any part of that anymore. I don't know what I would do. But again, thank you for your service, honey.
Yeah, Dan, I can't speak to gambling. I can only speak to do is once one realizes they have an issue, then I know I could tell them exactly what has to be done. I mean, I can never get anybody to stop gambling. However, if somebody really says that they don't want to gamble again and they want to learn, that I could teach them exactly how to do that. So what is interesting to me and where I spend a lot of time is the different platform now that exists, this platform of Zoom, wherein you get 50, 60 people a day. And how do you work step five of the Unity program so that everybody has an equal opportunity? If this was a live meeting, everyone that walked in the door would be touched and spoken to and offered and given security before they left the room. And so I think all the time about, the process here, how different it is to get to so many people to understand, just stop and we'll teach you. I don't know, that's a whole nother way of delivery, the message. And I'm start you know I've been doing it since it started, since 2020, and I do it multiple times a day, and I'm just it's just wonderful that anybody recovers, because you still get a sponsor and do the steps. That's the whole deal. So that's what I mean. How do you get somebody? A forum is what I'm saying. And RRO does quite they run a lot of meetings and they do a lot of topics and everything. You still don't get that someone grabs you by the arm and takes you to breakfast. And, so that's what I think about there. Not the different phases of gambling, but how do I best work my primary purpose of carrying a message to this environment? Thank you.
That sounds great, and you're absolutely right about that. Technology, not only do we, can we gamble on the internet, but we can also get recovery now on the internet as well, which is amazing. So it's all about whether we want to gamble or not. And so the one topic, the one question I have to every speaker that comes through is, if there was something difficult that you found in your recovery that just really was persistent and just kept coming back up and up, maybe character defect, maybe a issue you had. Doesn't necessarily need to know what that is, but how did you work through it? And how did you get through the difficult parts?
I know exactly what it is, and it was revealed to me in step four, and that is anger. I have found for me and those that I've seen come after me and before me all speak of anger and rage. That goes along with any ch childhood trauma. That seems to be the escape valves. Screaming and yelling. And so what I've learned is that just like this compulsive gambling, it's always going to be there. I work very hard every day to manage my anxiety so that that volcano doesn't erupt. And so the whole deal for me is it's never okay to yell at anybody. It's never okay to be mean and nasty to anyone. There's never a minimizing or justifying ever again. It's just not okay. You can't do that. And so that's the character flaw that shows that I work very hard. The others are not difficult. The rest of the, I, you know, it was, there's a young, the, Chris D always says at the end of his therapy, be the solution, not the problem. And as long as I stop, when my sponsor said, you can't be a problem anymore in step 10, stop causing any issues. When I recognize that it's on me. Just be a good boy. Just behave.
Thank
Thank you
you
for
so
that.
much.
You're right.
Oh. All right, Maria, come on in. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, my apologies, Jennifer. I don't know what's wrong with my finger or my screen, but it just wouldn't take my finger. Anyhow, my apologies. Arnie, I really, really enjoyed your presentation, and I learned a lot from it. What I'm wondering about, Arnie, is the retreats that you spoke about. Do you still attend them? Because I've just been in the program, less than a year, and I certainly can't be going over to Scotland for the next big sort of meeting. Is there something in, well, I'm Canadian, so the one in Montreal, could you tell me a little bit more about it, or is there something in the States, like a conference? Thank you.
Yeah, Maria. Gee, that's yeah. It is too bad, but that one in Montreal, it was always just men. There's one in Massachusetts that's co-ed in terms of retreats. And yes, there is. You really should start saving your money. Everybody should, because in 2027 is the potential for the Gamblers Anonymous 70th year celebration in California. That's on the table right now. So that I went to the 50th and we had 1200 people. So if you really want to be able to get an experience, start saving for that one. And what I would say, Maria, is look, for what mini conferences. I know Chicago just had one recently. Kentucky just had one. Cleveland had one. So and Toronto, has a wonderful 24-hour marathon in November.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. And I could definitely do California in 2027. I just don't think I can swing going over the pond. Okay,
Okay.
thanks, Arnie. Take care.
Ooh, thanks for that information, Arnie. That's close to me too. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that happens. Awesome. All right, Tony. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Arnie, first of all, thanks for your just a great share. I was riveted through the whole thing. It's something that I'll listen to, I'm sure, again and again. And I got to say, it's just hard for me to even imagine you being angry. You're voice is always so calm, and your demeanor is just always so pleasant. So I just recently, and I needed to hear the question that Dan asked and that you answered. It meant so much to me because I'm in the doghouse right now for an outburst of anger, and I've made a sort of a little mess of things. And it was good to hear that answer. I needed to hear that. So thank you for that. And the question that I had was, I've heard you on other shares that one of the big driving factors in getting you going on recovery was that the question, one of the 20 questions, did gambling ever make you careless of the welfare of yourself or your family? And I remember you saying, oh my God, that was, and then from that, that was an impetus for me to start. I had borrowed money. Actually, I conned my daughter sort of into offering me money because I knew if I said things a certain way, she would. How do you make amends for that? It just still eats at my craw. Thank you.
I had an issue, Tony, the same with my daughter. And it's now, I think, 4 years. It was fierce. It was fear. We were in a restaurant. She came home for my wife's 70th birthday. I flew her home for a surprise. We were in this restaurant. She was telling us, about this wedding. She was going to get married. And she said something, and it transferred me back to making me feel like I was back in my childhood, being disrespected. It was false evidence that appeared real, is what it was. And there was the evidence, but it wasn't about what was going on. It was, I completely lost control. In this restaurant, she walked out on me, my adult. And it took me 3 days. My wife said to me, you've raged at me, you've raged at your son, and now you've raged at our daughter. That's it. And here I've been in the program 40 years, 39 years. And I must say today, Tony, I first of all, I made amends to her. I told her my whole story. I went over, I relived my whole relationship with her, things she said to me when she was a young girl on the stairways, where she told me I never let her finish the sentence. Oh, I made such amends. I convinced her. It took me a while. And I danced at her wedding and I gave the father's speech. So it takes time, Tony. It's terrible. It was terrible. That feeling to think I yelled at my, at anybody but my daughter like that, an adult. So I know how you feel. It is exactly that. It is that character shortcoming that I said, it's the hardest one. It's like a, I just can't let, but it's there. I got to manage it. And wow, I know exactly how you feel. You just took me through that whole experience again. It's I wish you well. Honesty.
Thank you so much. I mean, that was just something, and I've talked to people in the room about this that I just needed to hear today. And although I might seem quiet, I can fly off the handle pretty quick. And I got to realize that I'm still new. Things are still raw, and this is a process, like you said, that might not completely go away, but you have to learn how to get that pressure relief valve off without snap. And it's usually the people that you're closest to. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's very touching. Thank you for sharing. All right, George. George C., come on in, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Arnie. I have a couple of questions. It really centers around step 10, leading up to it, and actually making a step 10 apology. During the day, if you think you've done something wrong or something suddenly comes up in the back of your mind, and it might put it'll put me in a little bit of it'll put me in a place of fear. So that happened yesterday, and I called up somebody and I said, you know, I'm really sorry for, you know, the way I've been treating you. And the person said to me, no, you don't have to be sorry. So what I'm asking you is the process of making an amend, you know, how much what do you do to make an amend or list an amend? Or if you don't do anything at all, that's good too. But that's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I do everything in my power, George, to let them know how sorry I am, how wrong that was to disturb them and treat them that way, and whatever that takes. And it's the same process I use in getting through to a sponsee, finding that way to convince somebody, and then letting it go. It's not okay for me just to say, hey, I'm sorry. No, that's too easy. Hey, I'm sorry, because when I said this to you, that was my intent, was not in any way to make you feel this way, say it, or hurt you, or and it came off that way. And I feel terrible about it. You know, exactly what the honest situation is. Except we're to do so, George. Would it injure them or others? That's a great question. Here's a situation that's happened to a dear friend of my in the program. It's got over 20 years. This individual, and I'm telling you a true, real, recent story, had an affair. Two children, and went and told his wife. And we're not talking about 90 days or so. They're not going to be together ever again. Hurt the wife, hurt the two children terribly. Why? Because this individual was in so much pain, they wanted to relieve themselves. So, you know, I know other people may say, no, you should. No, I live by the creed, except we're to do so would injure them or others. So my question again is, George, I don't deserve, it's not okay for me to make anybody else. Question 18 is the deal that I protect every day. Do, it's the only one in the present time. Do arguments, disappointments, or frustration create within me an urge to gamble? I can never afford to test that. The rage is tested enough. That's, you know? Okay. I'll just finish with this. One thing I didn't tell you that my sponsor did for me. My sponsor was the first person to plead innocent to his crime due to insanity of compulsive gambling. And Dr. Custa was his star witness. So Dr. Custa was here, and all the time we go to breakfast, to lunch, you know. So I was able to meet these in-depth recovery people in my life. And they kept it simple, George. That's the answer. You know, I know what someone once said to me, don't ever say something to anyone that you wouldn't want them to say to you. And that was a pretty good basis.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been, I trip up on that 5 out of 7 days a week. Thank you.
Wow. That's awesome. Good. Oh, wow. Great stuff. Okay. There was an anonymous question in the chat. Dan, are you able to ask that?
I would love to. Arnie, it comes from a member in our meeting here. How do you sustain your drive in the program, especially after everything is so repetitive and routine? How do you keep that drive going?
Oh my. This, the joy. Listen, I just had my 81st birthday. I've spent half my life here. The joy that's in my life. This program, in the Beyond 90 Days book, it says, just for today, believe. Yes, believe that the GA program will work. It takes an immature, irresponsible, compulsive gambler like Arnie L. and molded him into an honest, humble, kind, and generous, and decent human being. That's what this program did for me. Gives you the opportunity. You know, that's the deal. It's simple. It's brilliant. Look, these steps are the greatest design I could have ever expected for me to be put in my life to be able to use to get well. I've had cancer twice. I got Crohn's disease since I'm 21. This, what a blessing, to be able to. The greatest gift I'll finish, the greatest gift recovery has given me is no more confusion. I know every, it's, it's no, I know the deal. I know the whole deal. I just got to be willing to admit it, accept it, and behave and respond appropriately. Hey, thanks for letting me have this. I really appreciate you.
You ready to stop the recording?